listeners. So glad to be back together for this episode of Unpacking Eve. Through my work as the founder and CEO of a direct sales beauty brand called Lime Life by Alcone, I've discovered there's a strong connection between achievement, confidence, and emotions around money. Women are often exposed to a wealth of information on how to boost our confidence, but there are not a lot of tools to help us establish a healthy relationship with money. That is the purpose of this podcast, to get more females to think about their emotions around money so they can elevate their creativity, drive, and confidence. We hold so much guilt, fear, and avoidance around the topic of money, and it's definitely holding us back. I want to start by thanking everyone who shared their reaction to the first episode. After reading your stories, it further reinforces my belief that becoming aware of your emotions around money is key to elevating our confidence and future possibilities. One listener related to Krista's perspective, who is a money avoider despite her husband wanting her to be more involved. So she planned a surprise date, made a nice dinner with some wine, and then pulled out pen and paper and began discussing their future financial goals. Another listener told me she was in tears listening to Mary Kay because she's been in debt her whole life and realized that perhaps it's more of a choice than a circumstance. I hope you were able to gain something from the first episode, even if it was to open yourself up to the topic of money for 20 minutes. In this episode, I want us to go deeper into our financial mindset and find one or more prominent concepts or notions that we have around money. Often this is something we've developed in our childhood from our family and their reaction or conversation around whatever financial circumstance they were experiencing. I didn't know what mine was, and since this is a walk with me adventure, I thought I would share my discovery process and perhaps provide a framework for your own unearthing. I thought the best way to start would be to talk to my sisters. I have four sisters whose ages span 13 years, and we often joke that we all lived very different lives. When my oldest sister was in her adolescence and teens, my parents were pulling themselves up from a lower income bracket to the higher income bracket that me and my younger sister experienced when we were growing up. I sat down with my sisters to ask them about their money stories to see if they could help unearth my primary money concept. Here's my oldest sister Mary's earliest memory of money.
So I was 7 years old, and Dad was buying Mutual hardware. And he had to scrape together every penny and every credit line he had because his family didn't have any money. And he was about to take a very big risk and buy this business. And he said to me, "I just want you to know that you're not going to get a lot of presents for Christmas this year because I am buying this business, but I promise I will always make it up to you after this is done." And he was right. I mean, when he and Mom bought that building and that business, he had nobody else to go to. And he went to the bank with a spreadsheet on how he planned on paying for that business. Because he couldn't go to any of his brothers or his sisters. Nobody had any money to help him out. So he showed me early on in life that you can put stuff to paper and put pencil to paper and make it happen. And that's what he did.
From my point of view, this one story really does explain my sister Mary, who is self-reliant, analytical and methodical, and a super hard worker. She watched my father build his businesses and wealth from a point of struggle to success, one spreadsheet at a time. My younger sister, Maria, saw a very different perspective 13 years later because she grew up with parents who had much less struggle and more success. So I asked Maria to share her money story.
I've technically been working on a payroll since I was 4 years old, but I was blessed to be able to do commercials, which I made money from.
Maria, you were a child star and you were very successful. We get it.
The Macaulay Culkin of the family. Can I say times? Okay. Somewhere along the line, early in my age, I was taught that if I hold on to it and not just spend it all right away, I could then be able to, it'll grow and I'll have more later on. I possess my money. I hold on to it very dearly. And I always say good luck getting it out of my dead hands.
Back in the day when I was in college, we didn't have like ATM machines. So if you needed money, you had to go to the bank and get the money. So I knew that Maria had like 20s and 10s all over the house, hidden everywhere. And I'd say, hey, Maria, can I borrow $40? And she'd say, $40? And I'd say, yeah, can I borrow $40? And she'd say, okay, turn around. And I have to cover my eyes so she could get the money out. And then if I borrowed a 20 and two 10s, that's how I had to pay her back, with a 20 and two 10s. It couldn't be two 20s.
And so, she literally named the bills, correct?
Yeah, for sure.
I had a very good relationship with my money.
Marette, who is the middle child in our family, then added this.
I mean, saving money was very important and something that Maria touched upon. On this episode of Hoarders, when it came to money, we knew how to squirrel money away. And I think that came from the fact that mom was dirt floor poor, literally dirt floor poor, right? Dad said he went to go visit Grandpa Tony's house, and there was a dirt floor in the house. So I think mom had this kind of strange money perspective on us, which was learn to live dirt floor poor, but she always said, never worry about money. Because if you work hard, it will always come.
I'm the least saving money saver out of the four of us. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know why. I mean, it's interesting, Maria, that you were taught about investment and compounding, like as a five-year-old who was making money. Marette somehow had this like amazing budgeting system that was very visual. And Mary just understood numbers and she was into accounting. So it was like everything that you guys did, really, you had this great kind of discipline. But for me, I think what I internalized the most, and you'll have to tell me other mom-isms that you heard, but the one that I internalized the most was, I'm going to take my bank account to zero before I die. And I was like, yeah, that's how I'm going to live my life.
Mom had that funny saying, right? I made my husband the millionaire he is today. He used to be a billionaire, but I made him a millionaire.
What I discovered when talking to my sisters is that I'm sort of this black sheep. All three of them are hardworking and savers, but I'm a hardworking spender. I wondered if this is what rubbed off on my daughters, so I asked them.
When I say the word money, what are the emotions that come out immediately? What do you think of immediately?
Attainable.
Okay.
What else you got, Eve? Well, like if you just said like money, like I'm like, where? that's where my mind goes, is like, where?
Like I'm gonna get it.
I think because of dad, I go to like investment.
Okay.
Like, I, like, think of, like, stocks. Well, like, I think it's just, like, attainable makes sense, but I also feel like it's, like, security, because, like, if you have it, you're obviously secure, but if you don't, it's, like...
What would you do? You've just graduated from college, both of you, let's pretend. And Dad and I give you absolutely nothing. Do you feel like you would have the confidence to go out and make your way?
Yeah, I moved to like a small, like southern city that's more affordable, have like four roommates, and start at a low level in a job that I want to pursue and like be at the top of, and then live like not buying extra things like coffees in the morning or anything like that. Then once I have money, I can start adding those luxuries into my life.
Well, you're not like giving us money. That's the way I thought it was.
Basically seeing what your plan is.
Yeah.
Would you really sit down and think strategically about the finances behind this? And would there be in your plan a desire to save?
Oh, yeah. I feel like we've always been huge savers. I have, like, an attachment. I've always said to myself, like, oh, I'll want that for the next stage of my life. Like, I literally remember being so young, being like, college Ella is going to want to spend that. And that, like, now here I am and I'm like, no, but like 20-year-old, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I like just guess I keep saving it for something I really want.
And now you just got your first job, Avery.
Yep.
And tell me what has been eye-opening for you when it comes to your paycheck and stuff.
Oh, it's so exciting when I get the little notification, like, improve your paycheck. And I'm like, yes, let's go. And
it's like, but you were so upset about how much got taken away.
Well, oh, my gosh. So much money gets taken away. It's so upsetting.
You still get that thrill of earning your own money.
Yes, definitely. And I get the thrill of, like, spending my own money, too.
Do you guys remember S ever giving you advice around money?
I don't think I remember statements, but definitely what I've just learned from you and Dad is, like, yes, of course, you guys are smart about saving your money, but you also spend it in ways that you want to, like, when you want something. Even I remember when you were, like, first starting your company and, like, you wanted a Jeep so bad, and when you finally, like, had enough extra money, you bought, like, this, like, ratchet burnt orange colored Jeep, and, like, it wasn't a nice one, but, like, you knew you wanted that instead of, like, treating yourself when you work hard, I guess. What are you thinking?
Well, I was just gonna say, you always say, like, if your dad were to die, like, I know where all the money is.
Yeah, yeah. I think learning that, like, obviously I want to grow up and have an amazing marriage and family, but, like, at the end of the day, like, knowing that I have financial independence and, like, can, like, leave if I'm ever in a bad situation or, like, start my own aspirations and do something, like, separate, I feel like that's something really important that you've told us.
If you could give any bit of advice to parents who are raising their kids and they want their kids to work hard, they want their kids to have a positive relationship with money, what do you think are the elements of your childhood that brought you to where you guys are? Because I think you have a very healthy perspective on money and working hard.
I would say that, like, really teaching your kids a value of a dollar is important, like you did for us, but also not, like, to the point where when you're talking about money, it becomes, like, a stressful encounter. Like, I know some of my friends' parents will, like, be like, you're spending so, like, almost, like, in an, like, aggressive way when they're spending too much money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it almost, like, creates this, like, money anxiety, like, where they, like, every time they, like, think about spending or think about, it's almost, like, stressful. When even you, when we would, like, know we just did something really expensive or, like, Avery crashes the car, like, you're more, like, this is how much this is, and this is, like, a big dent, but it's all gonna work out.
Yeah, I also feel like just, like, saying no, like, because when we were, like, little, like, and we wanted, like, the giant gummy snakes and stuff, you'd be, like, no, you know? Just, like, yeah. It doesn't have to be anything money-related, but just, like, not, like, don't spoil, but also, like, be able to teach them how to splurge. Like, you guys are always, like, oh, yeah, we're buying this because we want it, but, like, they're, like, you're, like, it's our money, like, you know what I mean? Like, when we die, we're gonna have spent all of our money because we earned it all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, you've always said that. Like
we're not handing you this giant trust
fund. Yeah, you're like, we're gonna retire really well and have so much fun. And you guys make your own money and do the same for yourself.
And there it is. Clearly, one of my more prominent money notions is that I'm going to spend every single dollar I make and have before I die. I don't know exactly how or why this notion developed and has stuck, but it has. It was one of my motherisms, but my sisters didn't adopt it. Perhaps I was able to latch onto it because I grew up wealthy and didn't see my parents' financial struggle in the same way my older sister had. And perhaps my little sister, who grew up wealthy like I did, was taught more about saving and investing because she was making money at such a young age, so that lesson stuck. But if I really think about it, I think the moment I adopted this notion of spending every dollar I make before I die is when I watched my mother-in-law die at a very young age. I remember talking to her for hours about the travel she wished she did or the experiences she wished she had accomplished. I remember thinking, how do I want to live before I die? And it turns out the answer to that often requires money. So here's the question. Is that a healthy money mindset? Well, it definitely drives me to work hard and accomplish things. And I do think if I were to die tomorrow, I would feel confident that I live my life to the fullest. But I also know that if I live to 110, I would be comfortable. There is a balance there. But for that, I can take zero credit. All of that comes from my husband, who's a financial advisor, and understands better than I do my financial goals in life. If it were not for him, I do think I would live myself into real debt. Perhaps I can convince him to be a guest and tell us how he manages me, because he does use a special type of non-confrontational trickery to get me to tip back into savings balance from time to time. Before our next episode, try to unearth one of your more prominent notions around money and figure out where it originated and if it's serving you in a positive way. Is it elevating your confidence and work ethic? Is it aligned with the people in your life that you're closest to, or is it causing conflict? Is it giving the children around you, especially little girls, a healthy relationship with money? In our next episode, I'm going to explore some of the more common influencers outside of our family and childhood circumstances that shape our emotions around money. Any guesses what they are? Subscribe now so you can find out if you're right as soon as the episode drops. Special thanks to everyone who helped bring this episode to life, including my sisters and daughters, my producer, John Rebecki, whose expertise with his own podcast called In Reality, Lessons from Leaders and Entrepreneurs, has helped shape Unpacking Eve. Thank you also to his son, John Rebecki, for his work in producing and mixing. And thank you to Will Hartzell for composing our theme music. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Michelle M. Gay, Facebook at Michelle Malardi-Gay, and LinkedIn. Again, thanks for listening, and keep unpacking, Eve.